Community Radio Station. This month, we'll screen Power of Community, How Cuba Survived Peak Oil on Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990, Cuba's oil supply was cut by more than half. This film tells of the hardships and struggles, as well as the community and creativity of the Cuban people during this transition away from a highly mechanized agricultural system to one using organic methods of farming and local urban gardens. Again, that's How Cuba Survived Peak Oil, Thursday, August 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Cortland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Montevilla Jazz Festival on Saturday, August 17th and Sunday, August 18th at Portland Metro Arts in Portland. The Montevilla Jazz Festival features performances by Brian Smith, Dana Reason, Mel Brown and Gordon Lee, and many more. Again, that's the Montevilla Jazz Festival on Saturday, August 17th and Sunday, August 18th at Portland Metro Arts, 9003 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. KBOO will be broadcasting live from the festival on Saturday from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Feminist Film Night and Planned Parenthood fundraiser on Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. This Planned Parenthood fundraiser will screen A Girl Like Her, which tells the hidden history of over a million young women who became pregnant in the 1950s and 60s and were banished to maternity homes to give birth and surrender their babies for adoption. And Jane, an Abortion Service, a documentary of Jane. The Chicago-based women's health group performed nearly 12,000 safe illegal abortions between 1969 and 1973. There will be a conversation after the films between a former Jane, Judith Arcana, and a girl like her, Lonnie Jo Lee. Again, that's the Feminist Film Night and Planned Parenthood fundraiser on Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Get up, stand up. Good morning. Good morning. This is Rochelle Dixon, and I am your guest host for today on KBOO's Voices from the Edge. And today we have a great show lined up. I'm very excited about today's show. So I want to let you know this show is going to be live. We are going to have a guest. Her name is Sabina Erdes, and she is with the Lentz Neighborhood Association, is also the chair of that association, co-chair of EPAP, and is a founder of the Lentz Collective. So she's going to join us momentarily. And also, the number to call in, since this show is live, is 503-231-8187. So the last time we were here, we talked a little bit about the neighborhood associations and the Office of Civic Life and what may have, what may be coming down the pike and what may be changing. And I noted that there were a lot of problems in the neighborhood associations, that they had a history of being exclusionary organizations to the point of being racist. And one of the callers commented that that was the original purpose of the neighborhood associations, was to exclude individuals after it became illegal to do so. Neighborhood associations made codes that could exclude certain folks from being in the neighborhood. So that was the downside of it. But we've got some great stuff going on in Lentz, and I want to talk with Sabina about that. So Sabina is on the line with us. Sabina, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I am just fine, and thank you so much for joining us. So I think you heard a little bit of what I said about the last show. Mm-hmm. We talked about some of the negative things to come out of neighborhood associations, including that they were racist in a lot of their practices and procedures, and the original founding of them had a lot to do with that. So I mentioned like Laurelhurst. Everyone thinks of that as a great neighborhood, but it's really triggering for me knowing that the neighborhood association promoted violence for African Americans. And, you know, this has been some time ago, but my mom lived in Laurelhurst, and every time I went there, I just thought about that. And I think that that happened like 50 years ago, but it was still on my mind because I'd read about it. So what I want to say is that I've been hearing great things about the work that you've been doing. Tell me, in your own words, who is Sabina Ertis?
Thank you, first of all, for having me. I'm really honored to be here and talk to you. Who am I? That's such a good question that I don't know I can answer at 8 in the morning. Well, lately, you know, who I am has just been, I think, revolving around all of this work in Lentz. So right now, my life just really revolves around Lentz Collective, a little less around the Neighborhood Association, mostly because Lentz Collective has taken over my life. But I still am very, very involved with the Neighborhood Association, more so than I ever thought I would be. And I also, you know, co-parent my 5-year-old. She comes everywhere with me. I'm really, really proud of that and really thankful to the community that includes her in everything that we do. And yeah, what else should I say?
Yeah, so you are actually the chair of the Lentz Neighborhood Association, correct?
Yes, I am coming. I'm near the end of my term, which will be in September.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It's a 2-year term. You've been serving there for almost 2 years. Wow. What has that been like?
I want to say that it went by fast, but I'm not sure that it's always felt that way. Well, you know, when I first took on this, I didn't know what to expect.
You know, yeah. I asked you that question, and now I'm going to interrupt you because this is live radio, and we have a caller on the line. His name is Sean.
Okay.
And I believe Sean is on the line. Oh no, he's not on the line. Okay, so that's not happening. So go ahead, continue. Sorry for the interruption.
No worries. I love the live aspect of it. What were we talking about?
We were talking about your experience being chair for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. You know, I just know that 2 years ago, a group in I Love Lentz, and elections were coming up, and people were looking for a chair, and for someone to run for chair. And they said, you don't need to have experience. You just need to be a good communicator and to want to learn and to care about your neighborhood. And I thought, you know, easy. I fulfill those things. So I ran for a position. I didn't have any experience prior to that, especially as chair or facilitator of meetings, but also just wasn't very involved in the neighborhood. And I prepared a speech. I showed up and I got elected. I think I got, I want to say at least 70% of the votes. So since then, you know, I think being chair of a neighborhood association, you can do as little or as much as you want. And so I just got more and more and more and more involved, and I wanted to, I knew there were problems, you know, with this neighborhood association, and also with, as part of the whole neighborhood association system as well. So I just wanted to do my best to turn it around in whatever ways I could. And a lot of times I get asked, I think sometimes, you know, reporters will call to ask a question about just like a very contentious topic, you know, about what's happening in Lentz. And I have generally tried to stay away from contention, and my focus has been more on community building, because I think that that's how we can turn things around, and that's how we can start to have a more healthy organization and environment that people want to be a part of. So that's been my focus. Bringing meals to all of our meetings, just kind of having community dinners where people can sit down with each other and talk to each other at the start of every meeting, and our meetings are monthly. Bringing in childcare, providing childcare to the community just to make it more inclusive and eliminate some of the barriers to engagement, because our meetings are at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. So if you're a parent, you know, that can exclude you from coming.
Or caretaker. I want to mention that caretaker. Because a lot of us, as we get older, we shift having that parental role into more of a caretaker role. So I've definitely had both of those roles. And I want to mention for folks that are just joining us this morning, I have Sabina Ertis on the line. She is talking with us about the Lentz Neighborhood Association, her involvement in the organization she founded, the Lentz Collective. You can call in with your questions at 503-231-8187. For those of you who don't know where Lentz is and how it's situated in Portland, I want to share a little bit of information with you. So Lentz is about 3 miles in area, and it has a population of over 20,000. By the way, that mirrors the population of Milwaukee, I believe, the city of Milwaukee. So Lentz is the size of a small city. There are over 7,000 households in Lentz. It is bordered on Southeast Powell on the north and the Clackamas County line and the city of Portland on the south. So it's 82nd Avenue to the west and roughly 112th on the east. So pretty good chunk of a space of land, and it is definitely a very, very diverse place. So you can find everything there from Korean restaurants, Asian supermarkets. You have a lot of the Ukrainian and Russian community in that area, as well as displaced folks from lower middle class from Portland, African Americans, very, very diverse community. What does a meeting look like at the Lentz Neighborhood Association? Since you have a very diverse community, does it reflect that diversity when you're in a meeting?
Well, I think actually at this last meeting we had, we met at Lentz Collective, different place from where we usually meet, which is the activity center at the church. And I don't know what it was about it, if it had anything to do with the location, but we had a very diverse crowd. Everyone noted that. There were about 50 people in attendance, which packed this very small space that we have. And it was very diverse, I think, racially, but also in ages. You know, we got a lot of youth who came to engage and talk about their projects, and also to express interest in running for a position on the board, which is very, I've never heard of that in the entire time I've done this. I think kind of related to what you were mentioning earlier about how neighborhood associations have generally been perceived, right? Like white, upper middle class, homeowners.
Well, older folks. I just want to take a moment to say, one, I'm hearing some feedback a little bit, so maybe we want to make some adjustments there. Maybe your radio's on or something, because I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. But I also want to note that it's not just a perception. It has definitely been that because of the history of neighborhood associations, they have excluded a lot of people. For example, homeowners have worked to exclude renters. People of color have not been welcome and have been excluded. I don't know what it looks like on the disability front, but I know in the past I've seen meetings, not with specific neighborhood associations, but just in general, that have been held in non-accessible spaces. So meeting spaces that are tend to be older, and they tend to be free. I think that's one of the reasons why this happens, where the doors aren't wide enough to get in the space, in individuals' homes. I don't think that sort of thing happens anymore in the homes, but so it's not just a perception, it has definitely been the reality. But you say this last meeting that you had at the Lentz Collective was different. Now, the meeting previous to that, did you have the same amount of people? You said you had about 50 people at the space where you're holding, you held the last meeting. Was that the same number? Did you get more people in this different space?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for that clarification and for pointing that out in what I was saying. I want to clarify that, yes, it's not just a perception. I meant more in kind of what's holding some people back from participating, you know. So, but yes, it's definitely founded in reality. It's not just a perception. Well, I think now to answer your question, the attendance at our meetings is topic driven. So it depends a lot on what speakers we have or what the topic of discussion is. We've had as many as 70 people in one meeting. And I remember that was when we invited the mayor, and it was just about, you know, the housing crisis. Other than that, you know, we can get maybe 20 to 30 people. Again, it just depends on what we're talking about.
Do you think the location made a difference? Do you think that it had more of a community vibe because of the community building that you've been doing at Lentz Collective? I have noticed for myself that space has a lot to do with who will come to a space. I know that the Lentz Collective is right on a couple bus lines, seems to be pretty accessible.
Yes, and to be honest with you, it may have also had to do with the fact that it was set up as an ice cream social. So,
oh yes, definitely.
That's how it was advertised everywhere, and I do make flyers for all of our meetings, and I go around and I post them and I share them with organizations that send them also to their communities. And we did that for a lot of the apartment complexes, the newer ones here in Lentz. So we got a lot of people that lived right around the, you know, the town center, which is where Lentz Collective is. So I think, you know, again, people came for different reasons. Ice cream being one of them, probably location, may have brought more people out, made it a little more accessible. And also one of the, I think the main topic of discussion that night too was the neighborhood association system and the changes that are coming down. So people may have been curious about that as well.
Sure, sure. I want to go back to that ice cream social, because although you may think that the ice cream social just had folks come out for the ice cream, I think that's a great idea, because it allows older people who may not get out to have an opportunity to socialize. It allows younger people who may feel uncomfortable about what the subject matter is going to be, if it's going to be something that they're going to understand or comprehend. Pretty much everyone gets, you know, understands ice cream. And so that might be a real good way to build community. And it sounds like it was a very successful event. So at this event, you were discussing the neighborhood civic code changes that are possibly coming down the pike. I say possibly because I've heard that they're researching the changes to expand the voices and the amount of people who can be at the table, so to speak. And that may include some changes to the neighborhood association codes, which are at present about half a century old, 50 years old. So what do you know about these possible changes coming down the road? And then I'd like to get your personal opinion.
Ooh, okay. Well, I mean, I should clarify that I'm, you know, when I'm speaking here, I'm not representing either the Neighborhood Association or EPAP, or I could be representing Lentz Collective and speaking for my own personal opinion.
Yeah, but, just as a yeah. community member.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, I know that there was a two-part question. Do you mind repeating the first?
Well, I was just wondering, what do you know of the possible changes? There are a lot of people with a lot of emotion about these changes. And folks, if you want to come in, I'm going to call in. I'm going to repeat that number. It's 503-231-8187. Some of the things that I've heard are clearly misinformed. I've heard that neighborhood associations are going away completely. That I understand is just misinformation. I have also heard that the word used was it's a power grab. Potentially a power grab, but I don't see that. What I see is an expansion of the neighborhood association to include all the members of that neighborhood. That could potentially mean, for example, the houseless, the renters, other individuals who haven't had a voice. So I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on the neighborhood association? What have you heard?
Well, I agree with the fact that, you know, the neighborhood association system, having been created over 40 years ago, does need some updating. And I think that, you know, also a huge part of my focus since I started as chair 2 years ago has been, how do we include more people? How do we bring more people out? How do we have a more realistic representation of the diversity of people that's in our neighborhood, socioeconomically? Like, how do we bring renters out? How do we make sure renters know that this is for them, that this is not, you know, a homeowners association, which seems to be the general perception? How do we bring out younger folks, older folks? How do we bring in parents? And then more people of color. How do we bring in people who don't speak English? You know, and so we've tried as much as possible. Like, I try to translate our flyers. I offer free interpretation. But ultimately, I think what's going to bring people out is this: how is this meeting relevant to them? How is the topic of discussion relevant? How is any of the work that we do relevant to different subsets of the population? So I agree that it needs to be changed. I guess the question for me right now is, are these changes going to address this? How are these changes going to make room for more people at the table? Because I think it takes a little more than that. And I guess I have concerns regarding folks who are designing these changes, and that's not the committee reviewing, I just want to clarify, but the Bureau and the Commissioner's Office, what is their, this is their vision, but how much have they been involved with the neighborhood association system personally? How much time have they spent getting to know us where we are now? Because I know that they've laid off all the people that had the institutional knowledge about, you know, why they were designed this way, the way they are, and how they're supposed to function. So, I mean, I agree that they need change, but to change them, shouldn't we know how they work and why they work this way? Otherwise, I mean, we might as well just do away with the whole thing, honestly.
Well, we do know why they were formed. And as hard as it is in 2019 to state this, they were formed primarily as a way of giving voice to the different communities to represent back to the city, and to have that communication from the city back to the neighborhoods. Now, that's why they were formed. What happened in reality was much different than I think the intent. And what happened is a lot of racism, a lot of exclusionary policies, and there are some that got a lot of things done for their different communities. And that's why I wanted to hear from you today, because I think potentially Lentz is community done right. I am very heartened by the fact that you have young people, and I've met some of these young people. There was an event out at, what school was that? It was in, can't remember the name of the school in Southeast, but it was in the neighborhood. and the day that I stopped by the Lens Collective, and I talked to some of the young people, and they were just really excited about being involved in their community, number one. And then we have the older people that tend to have more time to show up. And then we have working families who are hustling and bustling between jobs and schools. And you've provided childcare at some of your meetings and food and the things that would encourage people to say, well, I'm not going to go straight home. I don't have to worry about it because I know I can grab something at the meeting. There's childcare. I think you might be doing community right. You might be a better model than anything that they have done in the recent past. What do you say to that?
Well, yes. I think that, I think that it definitely brings people out. And then also it's intention, putting more into these meetings can also... Okay, what do I mean by that? Like, when I first started, the meetings were so hostile and they were very one-sided. Like, board members would come and just talk about what they're doing, what they're working on, and the community would just kind of come and listen, maybe ask questions. And I've tried to slowly, like, shift away from that to where the spotlight is actually on the community and what they're working on. And the meetings are a little more informational. Since we have limited time available, could the committees put their reports in writing, perhaps, so we don't spend so much time listening to the report itself? And then we listen to some speakers, and then we have a discussion, and, where the community is involved. And I always let the speakers know, you get to speak for a few minutes. You have to understand that you are here for the benefit of the community. The community has to have ample time to ask you questions. So I think that also, simply just having an intention about what we want the feel to be at these meetings can change things a lot. But as an older activist has taught me, your measure of success is not how many people come to your meetings, but how many people come to your events. So we want to make sure that we're actually doing things as well, not just meeting for the sake of having a meeting. And we've seen that too. Like this last year, we've done a lot of activities, and maybe in the last 6 or 7 months, and we've seen more and more people come out, and I think that is a true measure of success. And even just, I want to recognize the people who come now. I think because they like the spirit of the meetings the way we have them now, they show up early. I've never asked for this, but they show up early and ask me, what can I do?
So they're participating. They're joining in. They're just not sitting back being told what is going to happen. And folks, I want to remind you that this is a live show. You're listening to Rochelle Dixon. I am your host today, and I am talking with Sabina Erdes. And Sabina is the chair of the Lentz Neighborhood Association. So we're talking with her about her work there. Also, she is the founder of the Lentz Collective. She's on the show today because I asked her if she would come on and talk about her work, because there is a proposed change to a code in the neighborhood associations. You might have heard about this. This code number is 3.96. Is that the code number? I want to make sure I get that right. And that code has been in place for a number of years. Since July of 2018, they've been looking at making changes to it. A lot of people have been very passionate and upset, actually, about some of the proposed changes, which they feel will limit their interaction and limit their ability to be effective with the city. The city has proposed that it is opening up the neighborhood associations to be more inclusive of folks in the community that haven't had the mic for a while. Call me and let me know what your thoughts are. 503-231-8187. And so, Sabina, you've done things like provide food, provide childcare, leave adequate time for community members to speak. You've also translated flyers. Do you think other neighborhood associations are doing that? What have you seen?
I don't think so much. Just, and this is just based on my interaction with other neighborhood associations and chairs. You know, a couple of other chairs came from two different neighborhood associations came to our last meeting, and they said that they were very pleasantly surprised and frankly almost shocked that we got that many people to come, but they only tend to get about a handful of people at their meetings, and they said, well, maybe we try ice cream next time, which, you know, I don't think that's that bad of an idea. Like you said, I think food builds community too, so yeah.
Well, it also says that this event is not a planned fight. It's not contentious. It's not so much that it's the ice cream. I think it could have been a cookie. It could have been anything that said that we're not preparing to have a fight. We're preparing to have a conversation. And we want you here. We prepared for you. And we want you here to discuss these important things around our neighborhood. Now, Lentz, I want to interject that Lentz, among other communities in Portland, has had its share of problems. So I think there's plenty of reasons for folks to come to the Lentz Neighborhood Association, rightly or wrongly, to talk about some of their issues. So it's in the past, 2004, 2005, had a significant drug problem, a significant crime problem, and I know people have been disheartened by that. It looks like we have a caller on the line. It's Sue, and she is on the line. Sue, how are you today?
Hi, how are you doing? This is Sue.
Hi, Sue.
I don't have tons to add, but I just have a small bit of experience. When I first moved to Portland, and lived in bought a house in the Tabor neighborhood. I went there, and it was like you described, the old time ones, where there was a lot of old timers. It was a huge clique. I did not really feel all that welcome, even though I am white. and because it was like they had been going forever, and they knew what they wanted to do, and they were not listening to any new voices. So I went to like three.
Mm-hmm. Which is three more than the average person, I'd say.
But when I moved over to Cali, I started going to that one. I've been very, I can't say that I've been a regular goer, but I go every once in a while. And they go out of their way to be welcoming to the Latino community, which we have a lot over here. And they've been doing really great things. They've been written up. And it really just depends on who's the president and how much energy they're willing to put in it, just like your guest talked about. So, you know, the different years have had different levels of participation. But in general, I think it works really well, and it tries to be really inclusive. But then I'm speaking from a white cis point of view. So,
well, let me ask you this. Have you been to a neighborhood association meeting where you've had a sign language interpreter or it's been captioned?
Don't remember. There might have been, every once in a while they have speakers, and sometimes they'll have a sign being person, but not I wouldn't say at every meeting.
So I found that it does vary between neighborhood associations based on the person. That's part of the problem. Shouldn't be that much variance between Cully and Lentz, and our needs around the city vary slightly, but most communities are having a problem with houselessness, with debris and trash and crime. So we need unified solutions for this, and it's not going to happen neighborhood by neighborhood. We need the city to come in and support the neighborhood associations. We also need the neighborhood associations to effectively communicate. Did you have a question, or did you just want to make that commentary, because I don't want to cut you off?
No, I just wanted to make the comment and just remind everybody that it's totally volunteer organizations. Nobody gets paid, so that's why you have such varied involvement.
Sure, I appreciate that, Sue. Thank you so much for calling in.
Bye.
So it sounds like from Sue that Cully's doing some things right. That's another organization that we could potentially look into to figure out maybe what direction the neighborhood associations should go. Sabina, so back to Lentz. We've talked about the neighborhood association. If you want to call in and add your commentary, it's 503-231-8187. And Sabina, now I'd like to kind of move to maybe exclusively for a little bit until we get that next caller, talking about the Lentz Collective and why you founded the Lentz Collective. What is the Lentz Collective?
Okay, yeah. So Lentz Collective is a pop-up community center, I guess we could call it, where we have free events, free shows, free workshops, classes, meant to promote a culture of inclusivity and love, I would say. So it's very informal. It came together just very, I don't know exactly how to describe it. I get asked this question a lot, and I think we're still trying to define what Lentz Collective is. You know, essentially, a space was made available to me in the heart of Lentz, where initially I wanted to expand on the community clothing closet that I had done back in January. And from there, it just kind of grew because I thought, oh, like, since we have this space available, what else can we do? What is it that this community needs? And just kind of paying attention around me to what people were voicing as their need in the community when it comes to, you know, getting out of your house or, you know, to connect with your community, to engage, wanting to do things for your community but not knowing where to start, and just simply having a place to gather, you know, where you don't have to spend money. It's not a bar. It's not a church. And you can, you know, people of all ages can be there, and it's a drug-free place. And, you know, we don't have something like that in Lentz. And I don't know that many, you know, neighborhoods have that. I mean, a library, I suppose. So that's kind of how it came to be. And so, like, I just tried to be responsive to what I was hearing around me as being a need. I also have my own needs, you know, for how I want to engage with my neighborhood and how I want my child to engage with the neighborhood, and wanted a reason to walk to the Lentz Town Center. Right now we have, you know, a brewery / restaurant. We've kind of exhausted, and a taco place and a bar, just, you know, in terms of reasons to walk to the town center. And they're all great, but I just feel like we needed more, especially if we try to be inclusive. As someone who does, you know, a lot of
Sabina, I have a question for you. So when you say inclusive, what do you mean by inclusive?
In terms of Lentz Collective?
Yes, because that can mean so many different things. Do you mean accessibility to disabled, intergenerational? What do you mean? What does that mean to you?
So, yeah, definitely all ages. I think the component of it, like I said, my child who's 5, you know, is often very engaging. And then as old as possible. And definitely trying to put the LGBTQ community at the heart of it, too, and trying to be responsive to their needs. I also want to be inclusive of minorities. I'm a minority myself. And people of color, and that, I think, you know, takes work, because we can't just say that, you know, we have to show how we are inclusive.
Sabina,
of color.
I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. Are you on a speaker type arrangement?
I am on a headset.
Okay, because there's some clicking going on. I'm thinking maybe you're hitting some buttons or something, so we lose you just for a second, so we want to be mindful of that. But thank you for explaining what it means to be inclusive, because so much of the time I hear that a space wants to be inclusive, and they, for example, mean maybe getting people of color in the door, which sometimes happens. But then when you notice that elections happen or people are asked to participate, there's no space for them. I happen to have visited the Lentz Collective a couple weeks ago. I sat on the sofa for, I don't know, a good hour. And a gentleman came in that lived in the neighborhood, and I watched you invite him to run for a position and talk to him about the neighborhood, and there was talk of gardening, and there was just this exchange. So I noticed that maybe your version of inclusive would be different classes coming together.
That too, yes.
Different ages coming together with the older people, the younger people. You've got a mural that you've got going on at Lentz Collective. I know that children are participating and outlining that mural, and there's going to be some coloring going on. Describe what that mural is, because I'm not sure I can describe it very well. What's in that mural?
And I wish that people could see it. The mural, so when we had our opening party, when we first, officially opened Lentz Collective, the space, a local Lentz-based artist and teacher, Nikki Traino, she wanted to be, I wanted to do a mural, but I'm not an artist, so I just put the feel out in the community. Nikki stepped up, and when we were talking about what should be represented in the mural, we decided to ask the community that. So again, we just kind of let people know that we're doing that, and then at our opening party, we had these whiteboards on the wall asking people to answer some questions about what kind of imagery is representative to them of Lentz, and what they would want to see on a mural. So we collected that feedback over a couple of weeks. We left the whiteboards up, and people could kind of still fill in as they came to visit. And then Nikki, who is an amazing artist, took all that feedback and turned it into sketches. And now she has been using a projector connected to her laptop to project the sketches onto a wall, and has been tracing them. And next, we will ask the community to fill in with color. But we need to raise some money first for paints or donations. So again, this is a completely volunteer-run space. And so we're, some things are happening really, really fast, and other things are just happening at the pace of the people who are willing to put in their time and resources.
Sure. So it's notable, as Sue said, that neighborhood associations are volunteer-run. So it's run by the people who show up. You got to show up, folks, if you want to have your voice heard. Number two, the Lentz Collective is volunteer run. You put a lot of time and a lot of energy into that. So the people who show up can make a difference in helping out with things like the mural or just participating in things. I know that you had a bit of a fundraiser, the Lentz garage sale thing, where folks went around and there was a bit of some fundraising going on in that Lentz garage sale. What are the things you're doing to keep the doors open right now? Can people make donations, or how does that work?
That's a good question. I haven't asked for donations necessarily.
Mm-hmm. But people can make donations, right? You don't turn down donations. Okay.
No.
Just want to be clear. Okay,
so
you'd never turn down a donation. So if people want to come in, they can make a donation to support the work that you're doing. Also, how can they participate in that mural? That sounds cool.
They can follow, if they follow us on Facebook.
What's your Facebook page?
At Lentz Collective. If they search Lentz Collective on Facebook or on Instagram, I try to post there everything, and they can message me through there, and I'll respond. Great way to connect. They can give me, send me their email that way, or email me at lentzcollective@gmail.com, and then I'll add them to our newsletter. I think that, the way so this was truly supposed to be a pop-up initially. I didn't expect it to grow this way, to receive this much interest from the community. So that's, part of, I don't have an operating budget or anything like that. So probably the way we're set up right now. It's not a sustainable model, but it's been working with just people stepping up and taking ownership of projects, things that they want to see happen in their community, you know, donating materials for what we do, and putting their talents, their skills. So some of the things that we've done so far, we do a weekly queer stand-up comedy and open mic, and it's been pretty successful. I like that it makes Lent a destination. We have people come from, you know, size Beaverton or North Portland to see comedians or to participate themselves. You know,
weekly.
Yeah, weekly, every Monday.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
every Monday. O'clock. Yeah, we could probably use a laugh at the end of Monday. So
yes,
you might want to come to that. And so how do you get folks to participate in that? They just go to your page and say, hey, I think I'm pretty funny and I want to come out and entertain people. Is that the way that works?
Well, for that one in particular, you can just show up.
Okay.
I think with most of our things, we haven't required advanced registration for anything. And another thing I forgot to mention, even when we talk about making how we make a space more inclusive, is also the fact that I've been very adamant about, like, the fact that this is free. Everything we do has to be free to the community. And so we don't charge people who come to teach a class or to use the space to serve the community. And then they don't charge people who come to engage either. So, like, for example, we had a show, you know, three local punk bands performed. Again, they couldn't charge a fee, you know, for people. People didn't have to pay anything to come in.
Like, yeah.
Donations, or they could buy their merchandise. And then we have an art show going on right now. Our three artists displaying their, you know, art, their collages or paintings. And anything that their work is for sale, people want to buy it, but all the money goes to the artists. I don't
Okay. That sounds great. Yeah, we have another caller on the line. So it's Pete. Pete, you're on the line. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great. What's your question or your statement?
Well, I'm the president of the South Tabor neighborhood, and Sabina was good enough to invite me to her pop-up recently. And I just wanted to, you know, add my voice and say it's a really great thing that she's got going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real asset to the neighborhood and to the whole area, and I think just one of the great examples of what neighbors organizing through neighborhood associations and other, you know, self-directed groups can do to the city, especially as the city is going to be considering whether to continue its neighborhood association system. So I just I hope everybody keeps that in mind, and I really hope people get the chance to go over and check it out. It's a great space.
Well, I appreciate you calling in and saying that because we've talked about some of the negative things that have come out of the Neighborhood Association, and yet I know Sabina is doing some of the really wonderful work at a Neighborhood Association. What's interesting is there's just now this perception that is rooted in truth, but now there's some new energy coming in. It doesn't have to look like that. No one said a neighborhood association had to be a clique. It didn't have to be exclusionary to folks who are homeowners versus renters. Homeowners, of course, have a vested interest because they live there. It's much harder to make changes. But renters sometimes live in a community 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. And even if they only live there a year, it's a little bit more transactional. But definitely they have a vested interest in what that community looks like, what kinds of services are being offered. So I appreciate you calling in to give your input. And while you're on the line, you said you're the chair for the South Tabor?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think to your point, it's really important that the current version of the law states that anyone who lives or works or worships in a neighborhood is automatically eligible for membership there. I mean, it may be a practical reality that homeowners or more privileged people in some neighborhoods tend to use that right more than others.
Sure.
But it really is an important part of the system that it's something that's available to everybody. And I think it's just so crucial that we leverage that right that every citizen of Portland has to participate through their neighborhood association rather than, you know, getting rid of that of that resource.
Well, I think if more of them were friendlier to different classes, mm-hmm. to different immigrants, to people who spoke different languages, I'm not sure that this would be as big of a deal. It might just be some minor changes going forward. But right. It hasn't been updated in a while. So I think the neighborhood association system will remain with updates. What those updates look like, I don't know. There is an opportunity for you to comment. If you go to the City of Portland page, you can go to the Civic Code page and you can put your commentary in there. So this process has been going on since July of 2018. It's still ongoing, so folks, you can still put your comments in there, and I hope that you do. So thank you so much for calling in, Pete. I do appreciate it. And
thanks for covering this.
Thank you. So Sabina, we were chatting a little bit about the art show. You said that you can purchase the art at the collective, and so that is one thing that you're doing. I know you have another art show coming up. Is that correct?
Yes, we have several. I do want to say, so thank you so much to Pete for calling in. I feel like, you know, we haven't really addressed much of the neighborhood association system and what changes are coming down. So we just kind of talk around it a little bit, and I'd be happy to talk more about that as well, either if we can leave some more time for that. Of course, I'm also just
sure.
To talk about
there's another caller on the line, so let's go to that call, and then we'll let you have the last words. We're talking about the Neighborhood Association. So, caller, hello?
Yes,
Hi.
Yes, are
Ross.
You talking to me?
Yes, Ross.
Yes. Well, I just so much enjoy this conversation, and I'm so interested to hear about what's going on in Lentz. I used to visit Lentz all the time because I had a couple friends over there, and I haven't visited there for such a long time. I'm in the Woodlawn neighborhood, and I also know the Boise neighborhood, or especially Mississippi Avenue. And I've been involved in neighborhood associations since I moved here in 73, and they're so diverse that you can't paint them with one brush, but they do have the challenges. They do become, by accident, they become cliques of friends that stay on the board and they nominate each other. And I've never seen a contested election in the last 10 years in any association. And one of the reasons is that the associations, while they become boosters and they organize popular events, they don't really have any anything that they do. They don't provide any ombudsman service to the neighbors to speak of. They don't have any tasks in the neighborhood. I think that one of the problems is they have so little power. Who would want to bother to be a member except you want to do nice things, and so you have a whole bunch of nice people. And they can be very inclusive in that respect, but I think there's all kinds of problems. There is a problem that so many of the people come there because they're not only boosters, but they're boosting for themselves. I think I have some ideas I might share quickly. I think there should be some disclosure that when people are going to become representatives in a neighborhood and run on an official board. And by the way, these are official boards, so you can't just do anything in a neighborhood association.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very valuable that this idea that there's an active neighborhood, a group like a Lentz Collective. You couldn't do those Lentz Collective thing in a neighborhood association. They'd be tied up in knots for years before they could organize that neighborhood center that you got. But another thing is that the police agenda and neighborhood associations, so many of these, in fact, good neighborhood associations, they are concerned with problems in their neighborhood. So you can really get bogged down with by having police come and sit around and you spend the night telling ghost stories about who heard somebody knock and there were shots in the dark last night, and waste a lot of time and never do anything.
Sure, but isn't part of a neighborhood association's job to inform the community about what's going on in the community?
Well,
I mean, if there's shots fired in my neighborhood, I want to know. I definitely want to know.
Yes, but not really. You need a committee that actually does something. You need to have a safety committee and let
sure. And part of that is knowing what's going on in the neighborhood, so you can start working on those committees and things like that. But I do appreciate what you're saying, that meeting for the purpose of meeting is not really valuable. So thank you so much for calling in. I am going to turn to Sabina. Oh, thank you.
Please.
And Sabina, you were saying that you wanted to share a little bit more in these final. We've got about 5 minutes left to talk about the neighborhood associations and the civic codes and whatever it is you want to, you know, state about that.
Yeah, well, so I think, you know, to go along with what we were most recently saying, neighborhood associations can be a force of good or they can be toxic, much like everything else. And the difference, I think, is, you know, between the two is who is involved with, you know, who's the leadership and who is, you know, participating, but also what kind of support they get from the city. So for me, like, I happen to be someone who knows how to utilize the services. I actually worked for about a year for the district coalition that manages the neighborhood associations in East Portland.
Mm-hmm.
But I think largely the services and resources from the city are fairly inaccessible to most people. It's very, you know, intricate system to be able to access. And so I think that what, you know, these proposed changes are potentially doing is removing that support. You know, the little support that we were getting, because it hasn't been much, it's like pulling teeth trying to get any, you know, the city to help with anything. Now they're removing that, too.
So what is the support that you say is minimal that you think might be removed?
Well, by removing that formal recognition of neighborhood association, you know, and then the association that we had with the city, they don't have to necessarily provide a lot of the services to us, I think. And
what are you getting now that you fear you might lose? I guess that's a better question.
Well, there would be a long answer to that, but I think one example, the formal recognition matters because, you know, I've applied and received several grants this year, including one for about $30,000 from Prosper Portland for our activity center here in Lentz to make improvements. And what I've learned through the process of applying for grants is that your association to different groups that you might bring in into your applications, you know, to say that you have their support matters. If I apply as an individual, less likely to get the money than if I apply with my neighborhood association behind me saying, yes, we support this, because they have that, you know, formal recognition. It carries weight with it. And taking that away, I don't, that wouldn't make it helpful. I agree that other groups, you know, the neighborhood associations shouldn't be privileged over other groups of the community that don't organize geographically, for example. Maybe they organize by their identity. So why not bring them and give them formal recognition instead of taking down the neighborhood association system? They say that, you know, oh, we're not getting rid of neighborhood associations. Well, right, in the sense that they can't really, we are, you know, independent nonprofits, so, right, they can't get rid of us in the real sense, but they are getting rid of the neighborhood association system. And so
the concept has, as it has existed presently. So Sabina, I've given you the opportunity to have the last word. We have talked away the hour. I told you it would go quick, and it has. So thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate everything that you've shared with us. Folks can go online, find out more about the Lentz Collective. If you want to go to the Facebook page or Instagram and go to Portland City page to find out more about the changes on the Civic Code. Thank you so much and have a great afternoon, great morning.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
Good morning. It is 8:59. This is KBOO Portland. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Cider Riot, located at 807 Northeast Cooch Street, producers of dry ciders with Cascadian-grown apples. Cider Riot offers 10 ciders and 2 beers on draft, darts, pinball, meeting rooms, and vegetarian pub fare. More information at ciderriot.com.
Tune in Saturday, August 10th for a special edition of Grateful Dead and Friends from noon to 2 p.m. The show will be broadcast live from Bloom Garden Supply for their annual summer party featuring food, drinks, and giveaways. Sun will be hosting and playing tunes from the Grateful Dead and Legion of Mary. Again, that's Grateful Dead and Friends live from Bloom Garden Supply on Saturday, August 10th at noon here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, today I hope to be talking about labor issues here in Portland. But I also have some headlines